Welcome to the Blessed Sacrament Homilies Podcast, where our mission is to help everyone recognize and experience the presence of God. We hope you are nourished and encouraged by the Word. Thank you for joining us.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. As Jesus passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither he nor his parents sinned. It is so the works of God might be made visible through him. We have to do the works of the one who sent me while it is still day. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made clay with the saliva and smeared the clay on his eyes and said to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. So he went and washed and came back able to see. His neighbors and those who had seen him earlier as a beggar said, "Isn't this the one who used to sit and beg?" Some said it is, but others said, "No, he just looks like him." He said, "I am." So they said to him, "How were your eyes opened?" He replied, "The man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and told me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' So I went there and washed and was able to see." And they said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I don't know." They brought the one who was once blind to the Pharisees. Now Jesus had made clay and opened his eyes on a Sabbath. So then the Pharisees also asked him how he was able to see. He said to them, "He put clay on my eyes and I washed, and now I can see." So some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, because he does not keep the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a sinful man do such signs?" And there was division among them. So they said to the blind man again, "What do you have to say about him, since he opened your eyes?" He said, "He is a prophet." Now the Jews did not believe that the man had been blind and gained his sight until they summoned the parents of the one who had gained his sight. They asked them, "Is this your son who you say was born blind? How does he see now?" His parents answered and said, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind. We do not know how he sees now, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him, he is of age. He can speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews. For the Jews had already agreed that if anyone acknowledged him as the Christ, he would be expelled from the synagogue. For this reason, his parents said, "He is of age, question him." So a second time they called a man who had been blind and said to him, "Give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner." He replied, "If he is a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know is that I was blind, and now I see." So they said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered them, "I told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too?" They ridiculed him and said, "You are that man's disciple. We are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses, but we do not know where this one is from." The man answered and said to them, "This is what is so amazing, that you do not know where he is from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but if one is devout and does his will, he listens to him. It is unheard of that anyone ever opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he would not be able to do anything. They answered and said to him, "You were born totally in sin, and you are trying to teach us?" Then they threw him out. When Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, he found him and said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered and said, "Who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?" Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and the one speaking with you is he." He said, "I do believe, Lord," and he worshiped him. Then Jesus said, "I came into this world for judgment, so that those who do not see might see, and those who do see might become blind." Some of the Pharisees who were with him heard this and said, "Surely we are not also blind, are we?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you are saying, 'We see.' So your sins remain." The Gospel of the Lord. I want to talk to you this morning about stewardship. Now, when I say I want to talk about stewardship, most people think he wants to talk about money, but that is the farthest thing I really want to talk to you about. I want to talk to you about stewardship because at the heart of this gospel is an extremely poor understanding of stewardship. And that poor understanding leads to the reaction of the Pharisees and even leads to those initial questions that Jesus' own disciples asked him. And here's why I believe that. A good understanding of stewardship recognizes that absolutely everything we have, both materially but also with our own lives, is gift from God. Gift that is given without merit. Gift that is given freely. It's grace. And to recognize that recognizes that because of that reality, we own absolutely nothing. If you don't believe me, after you die, see what you're going to take along with you. It's truly nothing except the love of Christ, which offers us eternal life. But because of that poor understanding, those people who considered themselves very religious could look with jaundiced eye at anyone who was suffering. And here we have this poor man who was born blind, who was forced to sit and beg for his very existence. And rather than seeing him as someone they should reach out to with love and with generosity and with compassion, they would walk by him day in and day out, and if they threw him a shekel or two, it was only because they didn't want him bothering them. They had no love for him. Because in their minds, they thought he was being punished. That somehow either he or his parents had greatly sinned and this was God getting even. What a horrible understanding of God, first of all. But the second part of it can be equally as poisonous. Because if they could dismiss him and see him as being punished, they also could look in the mirror each day and if their life was going well, if they were abundantly blessed, if they had good health, and enough resources to take care of themselves, they had convinced themselves that they must be on the right track, that God is very happy with them. They're close to perfect. So, because of that, they moved from being righteous because of God's love to being self-righteous. And it's that self-righteousness that couldn't allow them to see this marvelous thing that Jesus did before them and prevented them from being able to rejoice because this person who had been suffering had suddenly found healing and life. Well, the cautionary tale for us is that while we may no longer look at physical infirmity as punishment for sin, we can still falsely convince ourselves that what we have and who we are is somehow because we're better, that we're smarter, that we work harder, whatever it happens to be. And that's never the truth. It can also allow us to look past people who are suffering. The poor are poor because they don't work hard enough, that they're lazy, that they're not as smart as I am. It's never the case. Look at areas of the world that live in the deepest poverty, and those folks work way harder than I do, and I'm sure way harder than just about everybody here does. None of us have had to carry water 3 miles each day, but people who live in poverty often have to do that. So we're not better. We just have gifts that have been given to us. And all of those gifts that have been poured into our laps in this, the richest country in the history of the world, are given to us so that we can be good stewards of those things. And the way we're good stewards is recognizing that they're not ours, and they're meant to be shared with others, so that we can lift up the whole world in God's great love. Let's make sure we're not the blind ones in this story, but that we recognize God's love in our midst, and that love is meant to be shared with others.